Hi, my name is Sarah Jesmer. I work with the CKUT News Collective. What you're about to hear is a rerun of Off the Hour's July 30th episode. It's one of our favorites, and I know you're going to like it. We'll be back next week with our regular content. But for now, here's our July 30th episode.
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Welcome to the Friday edition of CKUT's community news program, Off the Hour. Today is July 30th. My name is Brian Jefferson, and I will be your host today. CKUT broadcasts from the unceded traditional territory of the Anishinaabeg and the Kanyenka Haga, one of the founding nations of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. Thanks for being with us, and stay tuned. We'll be right back with some headlines.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
First, the news. The province is loosening health restrictions as the vaccination rate increases, but cases continue to rise. Quebec health officials say 75% of the population will be fully vaccinated by August 31st, but they worry about the start of a fourth wave. The province launched a vaccine lottery Sunday and is opening a new vaccination site in Park Extension on August the 4th. And protesters gathered outside MP Mark Garneau's office in NDG yesterday. They're calling for climate action in response to smog caused by western wildfires. Areas of Quebec are still under a smog alert. Officials say people with respiratory issues and heart disease should limit their physical activity. And Canada has won 11 Olympic medals so far, including 3 gold. Montrealer Annie Guglia became the first Canadian to compete in a women's skate event. She flew to Tokyo as an alternate but learned 36 hours before the event that she would be officially competing. And Park Extension is mourning the death of a 32-year-old Rajinder Prabneet Kaur. She's the mother of 2 children and was killed in her apartment on July 19th. Her partner allegedly fled the scene. The South Asian Women's Community Center and Afrique au Féminin organized 2 vigils this week, one of which involved releasing doves in Rajinder's memory. She's the 14th woman in Quebec to be killed this year because of domestic violence. You can reach the helpline SOS Violence Conjugal at 1-800-363-9010. Again, that's 1-800-363-9010. And a Quebec Superior Court judge ruled Wednesday that Borough Mayor Sue Montgomery can stay on the job for now after being found guilty of 11 ethics violations. She is the mayor of Côte-des-Neiges and Notre-Dame-de-Grâce. The 2019 violations include harassing staff and attempting to withhold pay. She is due in court on October the 5th. And hockey fan reaction is split after the Montreal Canadiens drafted Logan Mailloux. He was charged with sharing explicit photos of a woman without consent, and following the charge, requested that no NHL team draft him this year. The Habs signed him anyway. The Habs owners say the draft was a mistake, but they're keeping Mayu anyways. And lastly, a second fence is still up on the corner of Milton and Park. Unhoused people that live on that street say that the recent addition of that fence pushes them into the street. There have already been fatal accidents there in the last year. John Tessier is the coordinator of the nearby shelter, The Open Door.
Well, we're traditionally a homeless day center, which fills the gap in the spot that's left when night shelters send people out for the day to do cleaning and stuff. We traditionally would welcome people in so they can rest during the daytime instead of having to be wandering the streets or be in malls and things like that. We give meals, we give showers, clothes, things like that, support, referrals for counseling, for psychiatric care, for rehab, detox, things like that. Right now, we have funding since December 1st of 2020 to be open 24 hours a day. We'll be open 24 hours a day until March of 2022, and that's basically something that was set up to alleviate the extra pressure that was put on the homeless community by COVID. You know, the fence was put up like last year, around July or June or July of 2020. Within a month or so, like three people were hit by automobiles in front of on Park Avenue in front of the fence, because people were pushed out of a lot that they were used to hanging out in into the street. One woman, Kitty Kakernick, was killed just a little over a year ago on the 28th of July in 2020. And, it was in great part, we believe, to there being a fence in that area. You know, when people are used to hanging out in a big open lot and now they're right on the sidewalk next to the street, the entire dynamic changes. After they had put up that fence, there were still some concrete blocks there, maybe 6 feet in from the sidewalk where people could sit down and hang out. But a few weeks ago, another fence was put up around that. So now people are forced right onto the sidewalk. And, the Milton Park neighborhood as a whole is amazing. You know, most of the people are in solidarity with the vulnerable citizens in the neighborhood. They understand the issues that they're facing, but there are those who felt that by lobbying to have a fence put up, it was gonna make people move to another neighborhood, or basically push them, not in my backyard, push them away. But that didn't happen. It just made the situation much more precarious. As I said, it moved people onto the sidewalk and into the street in front of shop owners' doorways. So now there's much more complaints and much more calls to police and ambulance and other resources because people are all over the place, in the street, on the sidewalks, in the doorways of shops and things like that. So it hasn't helped anything, and it hasn't pushed anyone away. It's just made the situation much more dangerous.
And so you said the reason, the fence was put up by the city?
Well, no, it was put up by the private. It's a private lot, so the owner of the lot put up a fence, and it was in big part due to complaints by a very vocal yet minority of the neighbors. Some of the neighbors were complaining, but as I said, the vast majority of Milton Park neighbors understand what's going on, and I believe even the people who are complaining now, I even believe that they would like a resolution that is somewhat compassionate, but pushing people away is not the answer. We all need to join forces and be one voice in calling on the government to give the funding that it would take to build a dedicated center or a residence for people to live in, with support And that's what they need, and that's what they deserve. I mean, they're citizens of Montreal just as we are. And if anything, they're the original citizens of Canada, many of them, because many of them are Indigenous. Yeah, like, we definitely need a dedicated residence, preferably with 24-hour support, for where the people can live and exist in peace as they deserve. I mean, it was needed a year ago before Kitty got hit and killed by a City of Montreal truck.
You're listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM.
It takes a good dose of courage and perseverance to get through a pandemic.
True, but it also takes a good dose of patience, resilience, confidence, optimism, humor, and love. Not to mention a dose of determination, endurance, empathy, motivation, hope, and ingenuity.
But above all, it takes a second dose of vaccine.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Welcome back to CKUT's Friday Off the Hour. The time is just after 5 p.m. My name is Brian Jefferson. Up first on this episode of Off the Hour, Solidarity Across Borders bussed members of their group and undocumented immigrants to Ottawa this past weekend. They want status for all. Joel Somadol has more.
Around 8 a.m. outside Montreal's Park Metro, four buses waited to carry non-status migrants, community organizers, workers, and supporters. They were headed to Ottawa last weekend to march and demand status for all. The trip was the finale of a week of action organized by Solidarity Across Borders and other groups. The regularization of all migrants and a humane immigration system was top of mind for 7 days straight in town. The buses on Sunday met protesters who had already headed east and camped the day before. On one old school bus, 30 people sat with bags, signs, and packed lunches. One of them was Sebastian.
Je m'appelle Sébastien. Je suis demandeur d'asile. Je suis Camerounais. Je suis ici au Canada, ça fait 3 ans aujourd'hui. Ça fait 3 ans déjà, depuis le 18 mai. On ne m'a jamais appelé à l'audience. Et par rapport à ce qui concerne la journée d'aujourd'hui, je veux aller clamer et demander au Premier ministre Trudeau pourquoi est-ce qu'il nous a délaissés. Pourtant, nous, on a travaillé pendant la pandémie Covid. On était au four au moulin. Et vous savez très bien que si tout le monde, lorsque le gouvernement avait demandé que les gens pouvaient rester chez eux pour avoir la PCU, si tout le monde restait à la maison pour avoir la PCU, le Canada n'aurait pas évolué. Le Canada serait tombé parce que l'économie devait être très en baisse. Mais là, nous, on a décidé d'aller travailler parce qu'il fallait relever l'économie. Et le gouvernement a préféré choisir ceux qui ont été des anges gardiens. Et ce qui n'est pas très normal déjà d'ailleurs, parce que déjà tout le monde a travaillé pendant la pandémie. Et j'aimerais poser une question au gouvernement, et à savoir ceci. Si tous les immigrants et les demandeurs d'asile étaient des anges gardiens, qui allait fournir le pain pour que la population mange? Qui allait travailler pour nourrir ceux qui étaient à la maison? Personne. Je demande encore une question. Lorsque les anges gardiens arrivaient dans les hôpitaux, ils trouvaient les hôpitaux propres, désinfectés, qui les faisait? C'est les ménagers, les agents de ménage et autres. Lors de la pandémie, qui dirigeait les patients Covid dans les temples? Qui faisait désinfecter les mains aux patients Covid? C'est les agents de sécurité. Et alors, tout le monde a travaillé pendant cette pandémie. Tout le monde s'est donné corps et âme. Moi, je suis agent de sécurité. J'ai été atteint par le Covid en ce moment-là. Mais j'ai fait mes 14 jours à la maison. Et je suis reparti au travail pour travailler. Et parce que je voulais que le Canada, que l'économie avance. Si nous sommes dormis à la maison, l'économie aurait chuté. Mais nous demandons justice. Ce n'est pas normal. Merci, monsieur.
Sebastian is a non-status worker from Cameroon. He says that non-status workers are central to Canada's economy.
My full name is Roman Leksikov. I mostly go for he/him, but there, it's okay as well.
So I just wanted to ask, like,
why are you here today, and what this means to you today?
Basically, like, I could list really a lot of reasons because, first of all, there is, like, sense of solidarity and community support because I know that I got a little bit luckier because I was eligible to pass under the old immigration rules that were effective in Quebec before 2018. But I feel that people who currently try to do their stuff, like under the current government, they really experience great injustice because even though they work, they contribute to the society, they pay taxes, they have no opportunity to get out from their precarious status because of the some racist immigration politic that is currently into the effect that that doesn't make any sense, especially given the lack of workers in the province, in Montreal City and elsewhere in Quebec. So I'm here to support people who contribute to this society but who cannot profit and benefit from their contributions. And myself, I also consider that even though I got lucky to benefit from old rules, but still, like, even for us, the immigration rules are way much stricter than in the rest of Canada. And even though I had been working in the first line in social and community services during all the COVID pandemic, I'm still waiting for my documents, and I don't think the situation is fine. I mean that I am not an immigrant without paper, and that's my privilege because I can work legally. I live legally because it's so weird because I wouldn't say that there is someone who lives illegally, and it's horrible and it's cruel that we still use the same language, that we still consider some people like as human beings that are illegal. But I mean that I have this privilege because at least I have a pathway to get my permanent residency. I have health insurance. I'm not afraid to be on this manifestation, to get caught by police and get kicked out on the country or be detained in the Laval detention immigration prison, you know? So that's probably the difference between, like, temporary worker and the person without documents. I think, like, it's the most, like, precarious human beings definitely in the world, because in Canada, if you stay without documents, your life can be screwed up like any minute, basically. And instead of giving people a pathway to get documents, to be like full members of the society, to contribute and to benefit from, we keep building like a new detention center here in Laval. So I'm not sure that the good politics to hold on, because I don't know, it's pretty much disappointing for me. Thank you. A lot of stuff. I don't know, like, you know, there are a lot of stuff I would like to say. Like, first of all, you know, I do understand that we're all maybe like a little bit pissed off, a little bit disappointed, but on the other hand, I still see some hope, because I still see some positive and progressive steps that are considerate on the federal level to increase the value of human life, including immigrants' life and their well-being, and to increase well-being the society as a whole, like that. So, like, especially compared to some other countries, especially like compared to the neighboring states. So I see some occasion to keep to hold on hope, to keep some hope to to hoping for the brighter future. So I hope that our voices will get heard today, and not only today, beyond today as well. And I hope that we could change the situation for a little bit better. Yeah.
For me, it's an experience of découverte and of fraternity, or sorority, but souvent fraternity. Parce que c'est plus universel comme signification. C'est évidemment une journée de revendication. Pour ma part, les plus importantes pour moi sont l'arrêt, la fin des détentions et des déportations vers des régimes de terreur. Les gens qui fuient des régimes de terreur, qui fuient dans plusieurs cas la terreur que nos politiques sèment, soit directement ou soit par des alliances assez informelles avec les groupes armés ou les organisations clandestines pour aller s'approprier les ressources naturelles d'autres pays. Et c'est évident que les gens qui sont sous l'influence, sous une pression qui porte une menace à leur dignité, à leur liberté, à leur vie parfois. Ça m'apparaît tellement plausible et légitime que ces gens-là veuillent fuir ou se déplacer. What we call development, which for me is the encompassment of pure value or non-market value inside the market. For me, this process implies or demands less freedom to other people and demands to break the strong social bonds between people to make everyone a commodity. And I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud. That for me implies some form of liberalism, which is conducive to, let's say, personal rights, or by opposition to collective rights. But at the same time, it seems that the capital class is so well organized to take advantage of a group of people and the status of people, like to lower the cost of labor, for instance, or to assign certain tasks, certain hard, difficult tasks to certain population. That is the whole meaning of the temporary labor arrangement, according to which worker, especially agricultural worker, will come here without protection, without access to healthcare and all that. So I see this dichotomy between the development of liberalism as a condition to commerce and the making of everything into a commodity, including human sentiment, nurture, education, and so on. That on the one hand, and on the other hand, of that dichotomy, the propensity of the financial class and in French, the patronat, to confine people into certain manageable groups and to take advantage of them according to the status they have managed to enclose them into.
This protester wanted to remain anonymous. He says he was riding in solidarity with non-status workers to demand a stop to their unfair detentions and deportations. He says Canada is a, quote, regime of terror, end quote, because of their treatment of people without status. 2 hours after leaving Park Extension, the bus pulled into the Théâtre de Lille in Gatineau. Bus riders took a break and others joined them from their own cars, like this anonymous protester who came from Montreal.
Oh, today is so fantastic because it's a day we've been looking forward for the action, for symbolic humanitarian for all, and also for the government to widen up their decision on the undocumented, to approve permanent residence for those that have been here for 2 years or above. two or three years, whether they work here or not, because they've been living here, and some have been paying tax, only for them to just make sure or to get the clearance that truly they've been in the country for 2 years or over. So this is a joint protest from the whole Canada, Ontario, Montreal, Ottawa, Edmonton, everybody together. We saying today jointly that frankly guilt, the Prime Minister Trudeau, they should see to this issue of undocumented, because the numbers of undocumented in this country is so high, and if they can give them permanent residence, it's going to give many peace, because so many are dying on the ground. So many lost their lives, so many lost their family, they lost their loved ones because of the fear of unknown of immigration cutting up with them. And we think it is right time to widen up the decision. We thank that they remember the guiding angels, yes, the farmers, yes. Now the undocumented are even almost more than those that are documented. So they need to think and reverse some actions and accept those that are already in this country, in Canada, for the past 2 years, instead of looking forward to receive people coming from outside. Let people inside be happy. Let them not look at it as if the government or the country is using them. They're just using them as farmer, and they're using them as different thing, and at the end of the day, they throw them away. That's what they see. So many lost their husbands, so many lost their wife. Because we need to be considerate in some things and think of other people's feelings. So many are dying untimely just because of the immigration action upon them. And that is why this action is coming up today, and that we are talking to Mr. Prime Minister, to police and all the immigration minister. So please do something fast. Do something and expand the decision on the permanent resident acceptance.
They also shared their personal experience as a non-status worker after being forced to leave home for political reasons.
I want to say something about my home when I faced the immigration issue, because I came from my country being battered by them. The politician, and later they took me to Lava. I was shamed. I was taken to Lava, and I was surprised that at the border they put handcuff on my hand, and I was telling the immigration officer that or the border officer, I don't know the difference, that I'm so weak, I'm not a criminal. And instead of him to explain to me, he just kicked my leg and knelt down on my back, and he was, you know, putting, and that arm till today, over 4 years, I'm still feeling it. And the back pain, I cannot stand for more than 10 minutes before our office look for a place to sit. And the same thing, my shoulder got broken. I took to the hospital, I went to different hospital, and yet I'm still having some internal injury there. So I am appealing that they should see to it. They should see to it. If God touches Trudeau's heart, he should think that he has his own life and the children are coming up. One way or the other, the children will come align with the undocumented one day. So they should think and reverse some action and make sure they favor people, for them not to allow people to be dying unnecessarily. They should not allow so many husbands, many are losing their husband, many losing their children because they cannot go for medicals. They are not entitled to medicals. So I appeal to the government today, because of this protest, they should make an open one that everyone that has lived in this country for over 2 years, they should do a symbolic humanitarian for them. That's what we are saying. That's the voice we want to bring out to Mr. Prime Minister and all the ministers of the state or province. So they should open it up. And at the same time, when they do that, they should think that all the undocumented that has been in this country for over 2 years, they are part of this country, and because of that, they are also eligible to what the people here are are doing, because they work most, and most of them work on the farm. Most of them do some dirty jobs, and because of that, they should think and reverse their action and accept all the undocumented status for all. Thank you.
Hi, you're listening to CKUT. My name's Sarah Jesmer, and I'm with the CKUT News Collective. You are listening to a rerun of our July 30th episode of Off the Hour. Hope you're liking it. We'll be back with regular content next week. And until then, enjoy the rest of the hour.
Then the march started. Hundreds walked from the theater towards the Parliament building in Ottawa. The crowd grew as local supporters and those from Toronto joined in.
It was a bitter one. Yeah, it was, because I came with a closed work permit, and when I arrived, I came with a contract to work in a farm, in a poultry farm. But when I arrived, I was asked to work as a house help. They made me to understand that since cleaning my boss's house is, my boss owns a company, so he has the right to send you anywhere. But it wasn't true. So there were threats, like, if you don't do it, we'll send you back. So while there, I had to clean the house, I had to cut the lawn, I had to do everything. I had an accident while cutting the lawn, and that was in June 10, 2020. So I was taken to the hospital. I had a fracture. I stayed at home for almost 4 months. When I got back to work, I was fine, and everything seemed to be okay. Then my boss came up with another story and said, I need to sign a letter that says I'm happy working with him. So I said, no, I can't do that because I'm responsible. What if tomorrow it turns out that I wasn't supposed to sign it? Who defends me? So he was so angry and said, if I don't sign it, it means I'm not happy, and there is no need keeping someone that is not happy. Okay, things kept getting worse, and in November I became sick because he didn't give me even protective equipment to work. So from time to time I used to go to the farm, but with no gloves, no mask. So I became sick, and I was diagnosed with salmonella. It was an intestinal infection from the farm. So the doctor informed the public health. The public health called me and I confirmed it. They asked some questions and I did answer. So when they called my boss, he was angry that I spoke the truth. To him, he was like, I have exposed him. So he kept on threatening me, telling me he will put me in the plane. And all this is because he knew I was coming from a war zone. And so he knew that I wouldn't like to go back. So I was obliged to do whatever he asked me to do. It was a bitter experience. I used to cry all night. It was like, so I was put in contact with the IWC by a member of Service Canada. Yeah, so I had to call them. Then they helped me get an open work permit. And immediately I had the work permit, I left. Now I went back for training as an attendant beneficiary. Now I work as an attendant beneficiary in the elderly homes. Yes.
What's the significance of this day to you?
Yes, it's significant because at least if they grant a permanent status to all of us, it makes, because the jobs we do, some of us do, are jobs that Canadians don't want to do. Yes, and I think it's not fair. Yes, it's not fair. And with the closed work permit, they oblige us to do things that we are not supposed to do. And some of us go through a lot and we can't even do anything because of the kind of work permits we have. So it's very significant. And I pray something be done. I pray that the government listens to us and do something about it.
C'est Moussa Diallo.
What does today mean to you? What's the significance of today?
Ah oui, aujourd'hui, on est là pour manifester parce qu'on en a ras-le-bol avec la politique du gouvernement. Le gouvernement ne pense pas aux immigrants qui n'ont pas de papiers au Canada. Et là, on est là pour porter cette cause. On veut que le gouvernement régularise tous les gens qui n'ont pas de papiers au Canada. On ne peut pas vivre ici sans papiers. Okay, c'est très très difficile, c'est presque impossible. Il y a des gens ici, ils ont le droit à tout. Comprends? Et nous, on n'a pas le droit. Et nous aussi, on veut avoir ces droits-là, comme des êtres humains, mais pas des animaux. Même les animaux ont des droits. Alors nous aussi, on veut avoir tous nos droits. On va avoir droit aux soins, on va avoir droit à la santé, au travail et l'équité. Et tous les droits qu'un Canadien peut avoir, et nous aussi, on veut l'avoir, parce qu'on vit au Canada. On a immigré ici, c'est une bonne cause. On n'est pas, on n'a pas immigré pour rien. On a immigré pour quelque chose. Alors si on est là, c'est pour quelque chose. Maintenant, nous, on veut poursuivre notre vie jusqu'au bout. Il faut que les premiers ministres sachent aujourd'hui qu'il y a des gens dans ce pays qui sont dans le besoin. Il faut qu'ils nous donnent la résidence permanente, point à la ligne. On ne veut pas plus ni moins. On veut juste avoir un statut. C'est tout. C'est pour ça qu'on manifeste. Et puis on montre au gouvernement qu'est-ce qui nous touche vraiment, qu'est-ce qui nous tracasse, nos inquiétudes, vous comprenez? On a aussi une famille, comme tout le monde. Alors, pour moi, c'est injuste que, de fait que tout le monde n'a pas le même statut. Même si on me parle de droits et de lois qu'on a décrétées, mais une fois que la personne est dans le besoin, tu ne regardes pas tout le temps la logique. Ok? Je te donne un exemple. Si quelqu'un est là, je ne sais pas, il est malade, ou quelque chose y arrive, tu ne dis pas, ce n'est pas mes affaires, ok? Si le voit inconscient dans la rue, prends-le et l'envoie à l'hôpital ou appelle une ambulance. Tu comprenais? Alors nous, aujourd'hui, on est là, on est dans le besoin, on veut juste qu'ils nous écoutent, c'est tout. C'est aussi simple que ça. Moi, je suis Guinéen, ça fait 5 ans que je suis là, mais j'ai demandé l'asile politique, mais je n'ai toujours pas été régularisé par les gouvernements. Et je veux qu'on me régularise, c'est tout.
Bonjour, moi je me nomme Diallo, je suis Guinéen, je fais partie des gens du GIPS, Guinéen Uni pour le statut.
Ok, ok.
Donc.
Et premièrement, je vais vous demander si c'est Mali, quel est le signe?
Donc nous sommes là aujourd'hui pour non seulement revendiquer un statut pour toutes et tous, et encore pour interpeller le gouvernement de notre ras-le-bol pour être avec les sans statut, les gens qui n'ont pas de statut. Nous sommes là aujourd'hui pour le soutien. Oui.
Et le GFI.
Le GIPS, oui. Guinée Uni pour le statut, oui.
C'est quoi le travail?
Nous sommes là comme un organisme qui est solidaire avec d'autres organismes communautaires qui sont là à aider les gens, les immigrés et tout le monde, y compris pour revendiquer une statut pour toutes et tous et pour qu'on respecte les droits des immigrants. Je pense qu'avec cette mobilisation, il y a des gens qui ont cité Ottawa, Toronto, Québec, Montréal, nous sommes tous ici pour une seule cause, revendiquer un statut pour toutes et toutes, sans exception.
I'm Noémie Beauvais, you can say her, and I work as a community organizer for the Immigrant Worker Center since 2 years now. Yeah. So this day, this march has been like the end of a week of marches and protests for immigrants and status for all. The Immigrant Worker Center, we are part of the Migrant Right Network that is organizing this day today here in Ottawa. And so yeah, it was really important for us to be here. Especially with the women's group, because most of the women in the community have precarious status or are undocumented. So it was important for us to be there just to show that we exist and that we deserve status for everybody. Everybody is important, so yeah.
But also, I guess I wanted to ask, I see most people with your organization are wearing a mask today with
yeah.
the name written on it.
Yeah, so it's a black mask, and there's Carmelo written in yellow on it. So yeah, it's one of... he has been here since 2008. He's from Mexico. And he died last Friday. For now, it's still unknown why he died. But yeah, he has been really, how do we say that? He was working, amputee, I don't know how to say that, sorry. Anyway, so he was involved into a lot of committees. He has been involved with the Mexicain Unis pour la Régularisation and with the Immigrant Worker Center also, and Solidarity Across Borders. So, yeah, he was a really important member of the community. So, and yeah, it's just really sad. So it's a sad loss for us. So yeah, basically the Women's Committee is asking for status for all and then access to healthcare for everybody, because it has been really a struggle. When you work here, you work in precarious jobs. Your health is, taking a shot. So it's really important for us to ask for access to healthcare for everybody. Yeah, that's basically it.
So I'm Noria. I'm from Montreal. So I came here today for to support the people without status in Canada. And we want to ask the Prime Minister to recognize those people, because they are human beings. They are here. They work. They are like everybody else. So I just want to... Oh, that's so emotional. I'm getting emotional. So, you know, we are in Canada. We're supposed to be in a rich people and one of the big eight countries. It's a rich country. We're one of the big eight countries in the world. And it's just unacceptable for me to see people living in poverty, living without all the social exclusion in us. And then the people without status are just one of those. So I'm here today to support those people. And of course, all the other. I'm losing my words.
Don't worry.
That's, yeah. You know, there are many people that are afraid to be deported. They could even, sometimes we approach people like they may be our neighbors. We don't even know about them. So they are ashamed of having no status. They are afraid to talk to people because they just the name police or government is for them some kind of monster. So I want those people to live in security just like everybody else, and to have the right to work, to build a family without thinking about their future, to stay secure, a status for their children, So, yeah, that's it.
The march has finally reached the road right in front of the main gates of the Parliament building. Those who followed along in cars parked the convoy, and non-status speakers took their place at the mic. Some stood in the bed of a white pickup truck as they spoke.
If we don't have equal status, and that is full and permanent immigration status. By not keeping his promises, Prime Minister Trudeau is making a choice to deny us equal rights and fair treatment. And we refuse. We refuse to let him make those choices. We refuse to let him sit silently as we and our friends and our our co-workers die, get sick, and face deportation. Next, you will hear from Abdul, an undocumented migrant from West Africa and a member of Solidarity Across Borders. Please give it up for Abdul.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everybody. First of all, I just want to thank you all. Thank everybody for staying here with us. Thank you especially to the migrants that decided to stand up and denounce what they're facing. We are all like an example for all of us. And I encourage my fellow migrants to do just like us. Come out, speak up, let the whole world know what we're going through. Let them know how you're suffering. I was at the Laval Detention Center like a couple of months ago, let's say a year. We were there at the beginning of the pandemic. Them immigration officers didn't do nothing to acknowledge, to make the situation at least better for us, or at least take any measures for us. What we did fight back. We did stand up for our rights. We did a hunger strike. We called the media, we called like the human rights, United Nations, everybody who was just denouncing what we were going through. And then, even though they didn't admit, we think that we did succeed. We did win that fight. Because all of a sudden they just came and changed faces and just start smiling and just like start being more understandable. But we know that what we do, we expose them in the face of the world. And I encourage you to do the same thing. We can go anywhere, social media, in the forums, in a traveling website, denounce them. Tell the whole world what we're going through. And then you're gonna see they're gonna make something happen. Thank you again. My voice is broken, but I love you all guys. Status Ball!
Juliana Fumagalli was in the crowd during Sunday's march. She's the mayoress of Villeray, San Michel, and Park Extension. These boroughs have the largest population of non-status migrants in Montreal, and some of her policy proposals involve regularization. She introduced a motion in February 2021 that made the city publicly declare that they want the federal government to give full status to migrants. The city said, yes, that's their stance. She says she was marching out of solidarity.
Of course, it's a file that I follow closely. So the role I have as borough mayor is to make sure that I represent fully everybody I represent. in the borough of Villeray-St-Michel Park Extension. And I know that there are many people without status. And so one of the roles I have is making sure I represent them. And so one thing I did as mayor is I tabled a motion at City Hall, Montreal City Hall. And this motion was voted unanimously by all elected members. And it was precisely asking a status for everyone.
I just wanted to ask you a bit more about what the motion was and what has happened in Montreal since it got tabled.
Well, it's complex because immigration is not a power that is, it's not a municipal power. It's a federal power, and also at the provincial level, there are some also powers there. So municipally, we can't do much in terms of giving status. So in terms of immigration, concretely, we cannot do anything. But what we can do is make sure, for example, like this motion, we make sure that we make a clear commitment at our level to advocate at the provincial and federal levels. That's something that we did. So this is, I don't know if it's quite clear, but so immigration is not a power that is held at a municipal level. But by giving, by having this motion, we're giving, we're telling the other levels of government that this is what Montreal needs and this is what Montrealers want.
Montreal did previously recognize itself as a sanctuary city, but it no longer does. What is the difference in Montreal now?
With regards to sanctuary city, the previous mayor had declared Montreal a sanctuary city, but it was just a name. In essence, non-status people were not protected. So it's not because you call Montreal a sanctuary city that automatically it becomes a sanctuary. And what we mean by sanctuary city is that we mean that people who are non-status have no fear of being deported, notably. And that was not the case. So creating a real sanctuary city is way more complex than just calling it a sanctuary city. You need to put in place measures that really and concretely protect somebody who's non-status and protect them from, you know, being deported and giving them access to services without fear of being deported.
Is there a significant difference in today's Montreal, that Montreal?
Small steps have been taken. I would say, notably, normally if people are stopped, let's say for a traffic violation, so crossing the street on a red light, for example. Normally, so the SPVM will ticket you. They're not supposed to do any searches. And so that was, that is supposed to help bring down the amount of people that are actually stopped and sent to the detention center.
Even though policies might be symbolic as politicians and residents wait on bigger changes, actions like what happened in the last week give a special type of encouragement and hope that full status is on the way, says Abdul. He was one of the speakers before the long bus ride home.
I feel very happy about this day. It wasn't easy to organize all of this, but we definitely satisfied, because today we could see like migrants coming out, migrants like stepping out of their fear and their comfort zone to come fight for the cause. So this is very, very good for us, and we can't wait for the following. And we are advising and we welcoming anybody that want to join us to just to feel free to contact Solidarity Across Borders or the Migrant Rights Networks. I'm definitely optimistic because I have faith in the people, and I have faith in the true willingness to help and be there for everybody. The only thing is we're not giving up. It's like the message is I know like it's not gonna happen in one day, but we're advocating the truth, and we're gonna keep on saying it until like we have what we want. My personal experience is resumed to like this organization I'm part of. Because I was like I'm a non-sider just like them. I know what they're going through. I understand the pain and the sufferings. So for me, it was just like to bring my part and trying to expose definitely what's going on, because I believe that not everybody really know, and if the whole world knew like that some stuff that was going on here, I think it would be very shameful, and the at least the politicians wouldn't like that.
Is there anything else that you want to add to like wrap up?
I just thank you guys, all the media, all the everybody that was here to support us and spread our message. We can't thank you enough, and we're just sending the message to all the migrants, come out, join us, and let's fight for it.
CKUT Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT
Montreal, Canada. CKUT.
And we'll leave you with some news that you can use. Pride is back, and the city's official festival begins the week of August 9th, but their events started next week to kick off celebrations. Check out blush.party on Instagram for details about some local gatherings. And a new vaccine clinic is opening in Park Extension at 7101 Avenue du Parc. It will open on August 4th. Vaccination rates in some neighborhoods like Park X are exceptionally low. Officials and community groups are trying to boost them. And there's a March for Trans Health on August 7th. It's led by members of the group ASTTEQ. They want amnesty for trans migrants, full RAMQ coverage for trans healthcare, and the decriminalization of sex work, among other demands. That's next Saturday at 2 p.m. You can find more information by searching for ASTTEQ on Instagram. And that concludes this Friday's edition of Off the Hour, produced by Montreal's Community News Collective. The collective includes me, Brian Jefferson, Alice Wu, Kate Addison, Joel Salmadal, and Sarah Jesmer. For more information on anything you heard tonight, or if you would like to participate or support news produced by and for the Montreal community, please contact CKUT's Community News Department at 514-448-4041, extension 7000, or news intern at ckut.ca. You can find us on Instagram at OffTheHourMTL, or connect with us on Facebook, search CKUT. Stay tuned for Cafe coming up next on 90.3 FM.
That was a July 30th rerun of our Off the Hour episodes. We will be back next week with new content for you on CKUT 90.3 FM. See ya.
Shalom Aleichem. On August 29th at 2 p.m., live music returns to Montreal as the Klez Canada Festival moves to Marché de Percibe à l'Entrepôt 77, 77 Bernard East. The lineup includes Briga and her Balkan Turbo Folk, Yiddish songs with So-Called and Warhol Dervish, Romani and Sephardic music with Taraf Siriana. It's all part of a week-long hybrid festival that starts on August 23rd online with concerts and workshops, where you can learn klezmer trumpet from Frank London, klezmer fiddle from Alicia Spiegels, and so much more. To register, go to klezcanada.org and join us for a CKUT Pop Montreal co-production at Marché de Percibe à l'Entrepôt 77, 77 Bernard East on August 29th. Mevelen Zachsein dort. We'll see you there soon.
Bonsoir tout le monde, vous êtes sur les ondes de CKUT à l'émission Café pour votre dose d'art et de culture du vendredi soir. Il est 18h et c'est Alex qui vous parle. Bien que la température ne l'indique pas, tout doucement, l'été commence à tirer à sa fin à Montréal. Les journées raccourcissent lentement et ceci veut dire que c'est le début de mes festivals montréalais préférés, dont le Festival de musique électronique MUTEC qui va commencer en début de semaine prochaine. Et pour mettre de l'avant MUTEC, la première partie de notre émission va s'y consacrer, donc en musique et en détaillant un peu sa programmation. En deuxième partie,